Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 7:19 Central African Time, consciously connected, coming to you live this morning. And alhamdulillah, Durban's looking cloudy, it's looking sunny, it's looking everything quite funny. But joining us to give us a bird's eye view of the Indian Ocean is our very own Adam Kamda. Adam Kamda, I'm looking at his composite that says the beach, boards and boats. Adam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful morning?
Wa alaikum salam, Shafa. Yes, as you rightly said, it was a dull and gloomy morning earlier on. And within minutes, the sun shone through and we had the perfect hues of orange lighting up the sky, and watched all the pigeons flying by. I captured a lovely photo this morning. I sent it to you by WhatsApp as well, Shafa. And as I look out at the sea this morning, I can see the northeasterly wind is up, making the sea quite choppy. But what I noticed, Shafad, is there's lots of bathers back on the beach. I don't know, it seems like the beaches are open again, and lots of people are on the beach, a lot of people getting into the water, and the usual crowd of people jogging and walking promenade, Shafad.
Tell you now, I'm going to look at your picture and I'm going to describe it to the listeners. It's an absolutely masterpiece. Even that Da Vinci couldn't even capture what you have captured. Do I see a fish eagle, you know, hovering over the Indian Ocean there? I can see a few people. I can even count them. You know, it's about six people there, two tiny people and two on the other. Looks like a mother, father with you know, the teenage kids and with a little toddlers also there. I can see the promenade. I can see, actually, what a beautiful sunrise you have captured. And I can see the palm trees, the ocean. I actually feel my feet on the Indian Ocean. And it's a picture that paints a thousand words. That bird, did that bird know that you're going to capture it this morning? Talk to me about that, that beautiful picture that we have in front of us, Adam.
Yes, Shafad, I take photos of the ocean every morning. There's quite a few enthusiast groups that wait with bated breath to view what the sea condition is. There's some of my friends are in the fishing charter business. They want to see what the conditions are like. I share to a group of paddle skiers. They go out virtually every morning, and depending on what kind of waves they are, if it's northeaster and the waves are too mushy, then they don't go out. But if it's a light southwest, it gives the waves a good shape, and then they can see this in the photos, and you know, they head out to see. You said it looks like a fish eagle, but it's a humble pigeon, Shafad. So I often wait.
Wow.
You know, I stand at the window and I watch the sun come up, and I have my camera poised, and I wait for the birds to fly by, and I always try and capture one or two of them, you know, in the frame, and it adds so much more dynamism to the photo, Shafad. And we have a running joke amongst the paddle skiers as well. Some mornings they can't get the pigeon, so they say, oh, no pigeon today. You know, it's a big joke.
Now, Adam, you know, generally you find pigeons. I mean, I have them in the thousands here where I live in Swingo Beach. You know, there are quite a few flats in front of my home. And but generally they move in flocks. This is a lone pigeon. What type of pigeon is it? Do they chow some fish also?
Shafad, even this morning I saw them rising up from the beach area in quite a big flock. But because it was so windy, they kind of get scattered, and then the flock kind of like comes past, and there will be one lone pigeon that will be trying to catch up or doing its own thing or going against the crowd. And it's usually those one or two that are still in the frame that I managed to capture. And that, as I said, that gives an amazing different feel to the photo. As just taking a picture of the sea with the sun coming up, or with some, you know, life in the frame, Shafad.
You know, just looking at nature, how inspiring that is, Adam. You know, no one says, oh, Adam taking photo of this uncle and that auntie. No, people. Adam is taking photographs of this nature, of Allah's reminder, how beautiful is the color. I mean, the color that you see, as you said, every time it's a different color. But the masterpiece that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, everything, the different types of, even butterflies have different colors, you know, plants have different hues in them. Even human beings, look at the colors he created, a human being with the different languages. Now, you know, when you talk about all that, then you start thinking about the fish. Hey, this fish does this characteristic, that fish does that. Some say, hey, do fish ever sleep? Do they close their eyes? Do they have eyelids and that? Do you get asked all these different questions about the species of fish that swim in the ocean, in the Atlantic Ocean, in the Indian Ocean, in the Pacific Ocean, Adam?
Yes, Shafat. As you know, the sea is so diverse. You get all manner of fish and they eat each other. So people often ask, what is an angler fish, and does it really have a lure to lure fish in? And if you really study the ocean, you'll find so many different amazing things of the little tricks that the fish use to lure other fish towards them and then consume them. And then even, as you rightly said, Chafa, do fish sleep? Because you would notice that their eyes are always open. They don't have eyelids. We can close our eyelids and you know, perceive darkness and enjoy a good night's sleep. But the fish's eyes are permanently open, so how do they sleep? Well, at night, it's naturally dark, and they do go into a sleep mode, but it's not a matter of shutting the eyes, Shafat. So everything slows down, they calm themselves, they have, you know, a few hours of sleep, and then it's business as usual as the sun comes up again the next morning.
Absolutely brilliant, Adam. I see Sadiq with the message. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafaat, Adam Kamda. I'm addicted to this program. Really, it's a beautiful program. I want to know, Adam, this beautiful place called Pingo Beach, once upon a time, I used to walk from Rivermouth right to Tiger Rocks. And on my way towards the puddles, I used to see this starfish. I don't see them anywhere. Are these starfish extinct? And I remember people saying it's a starfish, but usually it used to pump water into my toes. Adam, what happened to those? I think like an orangey thing, like a five, like more like a fowl feet. I don't know if I'm describing that right, and it's like orangey. Are they still around, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, if you're talking about Isipingo Beach, chances are you really could find foul feet in those tidal pools as well, Shafat. But I know exactly what he's talking about. That tidal zone is full of life, Shafat. You know, we often take kids, you know, to educate them about the ocean, get them to don some gumboots and get some little butterfly nets and a little plastic bucket. And we often walk along at low tide when a lot of the rocks are exposed. You find these pools of water containing amazing variety of life. You'd get little fish that look like tiny tadpoles. You'd get starfish. You'd get little octopus. Sometimes you find shrimp and even crayfish in these tidal pools, Shafat. So it's an amazing area to walk in and to explore, and especially for a little child, to try and collect these little creatures and observe them in the bucket, and then at the end of the day, release them back into the ocean, you know, where they belong, Shafat.
Ibrahim says, Jazakallah khair, Adam Kamda, for gracing the platforms of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I'm an avid listener, and I miss those days when after Fajr Salah, I could walk very much so on the Indian Ocean without any fear or without anyone attacking me. But now it's all gone. It's the ambush, the predator that waits for us. Before we knew, there were camouflage predators in the ocean, behind the rocks and under the sea sand. But now we get predators waiting on the seashores to get us. But Adam, I want to know from you, is it true that the toby is the most poisonous fish that you can catch, and that if it pricks you, you can die? Adam, how do you respond to Ibrahim?
Yes, Shafar, two-fold question there. Firstly, there are two factors that are keeping us away from the beaches. Number one is crime, and number two is pollution, Shafat. And I think the government needs to step in and do something about both those things. We always used to be safe walking around the seashores, Shafat. And now it's not only watching your back for crime, it's also the filth that's in the water. And, you know, we've recently had a lot of issues with sewer, you know, raw sewage being allowed to flow into the rivers and then ultimately polluting our seashores, Shafat. But, you know, the sea is mighty and can bounce back. So I think, you know, with little intervention, if the sewer issues are sorted out on land, the sea conditions can bounce back, you know, really, really quickly. So I'm really looking forward to that. And regarding tobies, Shafat, yes, tobies are poisonous to consume. If, you know, it's a delicacy in Japan where the chefs are trained to separate the poisonous part from the edible meat in the fish. And every year there are one or two deaths attributed to ingesting the poison from a toby. It's unintentional. The chef intends to clean the fish properly and give them good food, but it's a risk that these guys take to consume this delicacy. We've handled tobies, Shapaj, you know, as youngsters, when you catch this fish, you don't know, you shouldn't be touching it, but you hold it in your hand. As it puffs up as a defense mechanism, you can feel all those tiny thorns around it. And, if it pricks you, I think it can be painful, but I don't think it's lethal. And then a similar fish to the toby is the porcupine fish. And when this one puffs up, you know, it's got much sharper and longer and harder spines that protrude. And I don't think it's even possible to lift one up into your hands because it looks so vicious. You just, keep your distance from it, Shafar.
Yeah, and then, also you find this enthusiast marine tropical they keep, and especially Americanos, they say, hey, we've got a puffer fish, and it's more the toby. And I noticed that the type of tobies we catch are those small ones, but I believe they grow quite big in the deep blue ocean. How true is that, Adam?
Yes, Shafat. Many years ago when I used to dive, I dived at Aliwal Shoal and spotted some huge puffer fish. As you rightly said, we're always used to seeing the ones that are like 10 centimeters to 15 centimeters. But this one was like probably like half a meter in length, Shafat. So they do grow to quite big proportions. And I think it's to do with, the big open ocean and they are free swimming. Or maybe the shallower areas are spawning areas, so the younger ones are here and the more mature ones would move out to the deeper reefs, Shafat.
Brother Imtiaz, assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafa'at and Adam Kamda. You are already bringing the ocean alive, but you brought my fish tank alive this morning. I'm looking at my fish, and just the other day, another fish died. And I want to know, do fish feel sad when a partner dies? Adam, that's a sad question.
Yes, Shafar, I think it's very important to measure the level of your fish tank. And then after one fish passes away, you watch the next few days. If the other fish are crying for it, you'll find the water level will increase by a couple of millimeters, Shafar. No, on a serious note, it's so hard to understand nature. Especially, we cannot understand how fish communicate, and they don't have vocal cords to talk or to cry out or whatever. But, it's through instinct, Shafat. I am absolutely sure, I'm absolutely positive that fish do feel emotions. Because if you look at the motherly instincts, when any creature gives birth to an offspring, they have this bond and this nurturing habit to look after their fish. And if they are attacked or predated on, then definitely the mother will feel it, that the young is gone and it's an issue. So in that sense, I'm sure it translates to all other creatures, Shafat, that they do form bonds, they have friends, and if one of them has to have an incident or even through illness or disease pass away, I'm sure they will feel sadness, Shafat.
Tayyip says, assalamu alaikum, Bruchef, like a show. And tell Adam, last week he was on the boat and some float, and we lost connection with him. It was intermittent broadcast, but he got me all hooked. I want to know, how was his trip, and how's Novi, his top chummy? Did they catch any big ones? Well, Tayyip was very interested. Me too. I forgot to ask you about the trip. How was it, Adam?
Yes, Shafad, we had an absolutely amazing time at sea. As you know, there's been a lot of wind lately, so we found that gap to fish the morning. We went out about 20 miles from Durban and fished an area off Amshlanga. The depth was 60 meters, and they were, for a long space on the ocean, there were no boats at all, but on one specific spot, there were about five or six of us drifting over this reefy area. And we found fishing a bit slow, but we managed to come back with some good quality fish. We got an Englishman, a false Englishman, some slingers, some soldiers, and a lovely rock cod, Shafat. But the other boats, there was a yellow belly that was drifting not far from us, and we watched each drift. They went past, they managed to pick up some good quality fish. They caught a Daga salmon, a few Keelbeck salmon, a mussel cracker, and general reds as well, Shafaat.
Looking at this message, it says, Assalamu alaikum. I would like to remain anonymous. Adam knows me. I'm a big lani, and I've got lots of koi's in my pond. I don't want to tell you what the price is, but I want to tell Adam, do you know, Adam, those koi's love me to pet them. I'd like to know if any other fish likes to be pet like my koi's. Hey, they're expensive. Who's this lani, Adam? Any idea?
Yes, Shafaz, I believe koi fish can fetch quite large sums of money, and if he's got some very rare kois, he's probably worth a few bar, Shafaz. So, and then people form bonds with their pets as well. I have seen some amazing footage on YouTube of people, handling fish like at the side of a pond. And in fact, this guy picks up this one fish, he releases it into the water. It swims away around into a circle, comes back right into his hand, Shafaat. So it is quite amazing to form these bonds and relationships with fishy creatures. But even, if you observe what happens in the aquariums, when they train dolphins to jump into the air and do all those tricks, they form really strong bonds with their trainers as well, Shafaat.
Rashid says, Assalamu alaikum. A great show indeed, and I got the whole family listening to you. Well done, Adam Kamda, Shafaat Ahmed Khan, and Marcus Sahaba. He says, I know the minnows are the smallest fish in the world, but the largest fish, which is the largest fish in the world, Adam?
Yes, Shafaat, I don't know statistically exactly which one it is, but the largest fish that we target as fishermen, Shafaat, would be the marlin species. They grow up to like 500 kilos. And even the blue tuna, they also grow up to about around that range as well, Shafaat. But these are very rare. As recreational fishermen, when we go out like on a weekly basis, our prize fish would be a nice rock cod, around 8 to 10 kilos. The salmon is also really popular. Daga salmon in the region of 15 to 20 kilos, or the shoaling Halebeck salmon around 5 to 8 kilos. Shafaat, those make the best meals, and it's the tastiest fish to put on the table, Shafaat.
Now, I talk about the Daga salmon. I think we used to get them quite often here at the estuary in Isipingo Beach, the river mouth. Also, I believe they used to get a lot of pink salmon. But then some people say, hey, Adam, man, Daga. Hey, I can't chow that thing, man. It got a lot of Daga in the stomach. How true is that, Adam?
No, I don't know how the name came about, Shafaat, but it's got nothing to do with mud. These are very clean fish, swimming freely in the ocean, consuming the healthiest of foods. They usually, prey on sardines, young fish, squids, and I'd say even a bit of crustaceans in the diet as well. But they are really healthy, tasty fish, easy to fillet, and you get a lot of meat out of it with very little bones, Shafaat. So Daga salmon is I think it's the bigger brother of the Halebeck salmon. You usually find the bigger species of the Daga salmon, but both are very tasty. Both salmon species of our KZN coast is very sought after, easily available in the fish shops, and at certain seasons, it's not too difficult to catch offshore. At the moment, my friend Jake's on Simply the Best Fishing Charters is doing really well with salmon. It's usually caught at night, but he's taking the guys out to the spot and even catching a few during the day. But as the sun goes down, the bite goes faster. And then the other challenge of part is when they're catching these salmon, if there's quite a lot around, then the sharks also come around, because it's an easy meal for the sharks once it's on the hook, and the fish is struggling against your hook. You're trying to pull it up, and the shark is waiting under your boat to get his share, Shafaat.
Shiraz says, Assalamu alaikum. Both you and Adam bring the ocean alive. I've been snorkeling and diving for the last 25 to 30 years, but Adam, I never found a seahorse in our reefs. Why is this?
Yes, Shafaat, seahorses, they live in certain areas. I also haven't spotted any in our reefs. But when I was overseas, I think it was in the Caribbean, and we went out on a snorkeling trip, and they told us, there are seahorses in this area. And even keeping your eyes peeled, looking for these little creatures, we really battled until the guide actually took us down and pointed them out. They are masters at camouflage, Shafaat, and they curl their tails around some sea structure, and they sway with the tide, so you can't really pick them out. But only when they are pointed out to you, Shafaat, you'll be able to see them. So I'm not sure if there are any present in our local waters, or maybe they're very rare, But I personally haven't seen them in our local waters, Shapard.
Yeah, me too. Personally, I used to do a lot of this diving in my earlier years, but I hadn't seen anything. But, you know, it's amazing what we have seen in the ocean, and especially, you know, when you dive in. It gives you a different perspective to life and living, Adam. You know, it actually broadens your horizon. Talk to me, Adam.
Yes, Shafaz. You know, I often sit on the boat and look out at sea, and everything looks so barren and so lifeless. But the minute you put your head down below the surface of the water, Shafaz, it's a completely different world out there. You've got fish living in all levels, from the surface to midwater to the bottom, and even living within the reefs and in all the little holes, nooks and crannies of the reefs as well, Shafaz. And it's such an amazing interaction between all these creatures. It's really amazing to behold. And you find a lot of the life is in the shallower waters, you know, from the surf zone up to about, say, 15 meters deep. And then beyond that, you get scattered reef, which also holds fish. And between those scattered reef, you get all the pelagic fish, like the tuna, the wahoo, the barracuda, all swimming freely in the ocean and following the big shoals of sardines, et cetera, Shapard. So it's quite a huge circus of animals that are doing performances on a daily basis. And it's a, you know, it's a hunt, and it's a matter of survival. The prey are always trying to hide themselves and to survive another day. And the predators are always out there to look for the next meal, Shapard.
Ashraf says, Assalamu alaikum. The Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming through this morning's talk on the fishing segment. Jazakallah khair. Do fish talk to each other, Adam Kamda? Adam, do fish talk to each other?
You know, the fish communication is really quite an amazing thing, because if you look at sardines, Shafaq, how do they swim in shoals, and how does the entire shoal turn in certain directions, etc.? It's a combination of light, you know, as they turn, you know, the light that bounces off the body changes, and it'll affect the one that's next to it. He will also turn in a similar manner. And also vibration, Shafaat, you know, as they swim in the water, they give off vibration. And talking about communication, I observe the whales out at sea, Shafaat. Sometimes they come up to the surface and they'll stick their tail completely out of the water and they'll slap the water, or they'll lie on their side and they'll use their side fin and slap the water. And this is used as communication through sound, not even the vocal cords, but they are slapping the water, and that sound carries 4 times as far in water as it would in air. So it can communicate to all these other whales that are, you know, in the vicinity. So whether it's marking territory or whether it's looking for a mate, you could say it's using its own TikTok or its own Instagram, Shafar, to advertise for a mate. So, yeah, so they do communicate in various ways, Shafar.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those whales, I remember how they will flap the tail, and you think there's a thunder coming, but it's, you know, broad daylight, the sun is shining, and then you know, oh yes, there in the Indian Ocean, the whales are around. I don't hear them anymore, but those were the many years ago in Isipingo Beach. Now, Adam Gigi Foy is telling me, Recep Shafaat, Adam's recipe. He's got crab curry for you this morning, Gigi Foy. Adam, let's hear your recipe.
Yes, Shafaat, as you know, everyone loves a nice hot crab curry. And, you know, when you eat it, it tastes so exotic. You'd think, you know, this person would have been slaving for hours over the stove to make this. But you'll be so surprised to know how simple the ingredients are. These ingredients are available in everyone's kitchen. All you need is to find a good supplier with fresh crab. And even it's a bonus to ask them to clean it for you and chop it up and maybe even crack the shells for you. So I'll go through this recipe, Shafaat. It's really simple, and I think everyone should try it. So if you've got a pen and paper ready, I don't mind if you take the recipe down and definitely try it and give us some feedback whether you enjoyed it or not. So you start with 3 tablespoons of mustard oil. Add this to a pan and heat it up. Add 1 teaspoon cumin seeds, 2 bay leaves. Let it sizzle for a few seconds. Then add the paste of 3 medium onions. Cook it through while stirring continuously until the onions turn brown. Then add 2 teaspoons of garlic paste. Add 2 medium tomatoes finely chopped. Then add 1/2 teaspoon turmeric powder and 1 teaspoon red chili powder. Mix it in. Add the 1 kg cut and cleaned crab. Mix till the crab pieces are all coated with the masala. Add 1 teaspoon salt or salt to taste. Cook on low heat for 5 minutes. Then add 2 tablespoons of yogurt. Mix it thoroughly. and add 2 cups of water. Cover and cook on low heat for 15 minutes. Then you're coming to the end of the recipe, Shafaat. You add 1/2 teaspoon of garam masala and 4 slit green chilies. Mix it in. Add 1 teaspoon of ghee. Give it another mix. Garnish it with chopped danya leaves and serve hot with rice.
I tell you, Adam. Yeah, all those in Cape Town, they're like, hey, lekker, man. Adam, are you a Shafi? You like us? You like crab, eh? Hey, all your Cape Townian friends are giving you a big applause, Adam. How many chomis you got there that you cooked crab curry for?
Oh, Shafar, all my friends love crab curry, and some of them like to turn up the heat. My recipe says 1 teaspoon of chili powder, but some of them use tablespoons, Shafar. So you can turn up the heat as you like, and even maybe put the green chilies in earlier to infuse more of the green chili flavor in the curry as well, Shafar.
I tell you, you're brilliant, and I like to put a lot of green chilies in the dal gosh. The more green chilies, the more pungent it becomes. What about you when you're making your dal gosh? How's your chili levels? Hi, Adam.
Yes, Chef Art, I love the chili flavor, but you know, you shouldn't go overboard. Whenever you're eating anything, it shouldn't just only be like your mouth is burning kind of sensation. It must be to enhance the flavors and give a good kick, get the sweat going a bit, but not overdoing it, Chef Art.
Yeah, then they call it overkill. Hey, you kill the fun, brother. I can't chow properly. Only burning here and drinking so much of milk or bringing more water or carbonated drinks and that. Adam, you were absolutely brilliant this morning. Your parting words?
Yes, Shafar, I just love to encourage everyone to come down to the beachfront, have a brisk walk on the beach, on the promenade, get your vitamin D and get that oxygen into your lungs and just enjoy Durban. And thanks for a lovely show, Shafaat. It's always a pleasure to be on air with you. Salams to you and the listeners.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Feeling is a reciprocal to have a professori like Adam Kamda on air. Hey, it makes it so enjoyable. Time for us to go for a break. When we get back, we'll be joined by Counselor Ahmad Parak.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.